2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
Welcome back into another fantasy basketball season-long podcast. For all of you expecting the DFS podcast, you've tuned into the wrong channel, but don't tune away. We're going to have a good season-long discussion about different rule changes proposed in the NBA. I'm sitting next to my special guest right here, John Alicia, a.k.a. Statsational. You know him from Beat the Bookie. How you doing, John?
I'm doing well, man. How's it going? How was the Thanksgiving?
It was good. I pivoted off of turkey and went the meatloaf route.
Ooh.
Do you approve?
I don't know if I approve. I mean, I could have meatloaf on a, you know, kind of every day of the week. The turkey's kind of a one day a year deal unless you're getting some turkey sandwiches for lunch or something.
You know what it is? I don't love turkey. I mean, it has to be done right, or else if it's slightly overcooked, it's not a good animal protein for me. So I did taste it, you know, and I'm not a huge turkey fan unless it's deep fried or whatever. But how about you? What did you do for Thanksgiving?
It was low key for me. I'm actually having a little, I went to my, I've got family down here in Florida, so I was with some of my family down here, but at like one of their friends' house. Mm. And now today I'm going to be over at my aunt's. So we're kind of doing part two Thanksgiving. It was a little disappointing not being in New York with my nieces and nephew. So I got some video chat with them. I usually send them a letter from Santa Claus.
Oh, that's nice.
Every year. So I got to, and then that comes with a phone call. So I video chatted in and got their phone call. They found out they were on the nice list, so they were all pretty pumped up about that.
Yeah, it's that's interesting enough. Like when you're little, Thanksgiving and you know, the holiday times, it's nice that you keep those traditions alive with your family. And it's sad when you move out of New York and then you're in warm weather for these holidays. It's always interesting, but you know, nonetheless, I'm happy to be here talking with you again. For those of you who've tuned in expecting some DFS content, we are of course going to have that, but today we're going to debate NBA rule changes, the proposed format that was put forward to the Players Union and the Board of Governors. I had kind of pulled John Alicia in to talk about this and asked him not to read the proposal just so we can bounce off his opinion. Are you ready to talk about this, John?
I'm a little nervous, but yeah, let's go. Let's do it.
Yeah. I mean, first and foremost, would you agree that the current playoff format and the way that the NBA is running, it needs a facelift. It needs a change. It's become a little stale with an 82 game season.
I would agree with that. And I tend to be a traditionalist, but more in the more with baseball. Like, I hate when they change baseball just because the numbers mean so much. Yeah. But in basketball, the numbers are fairly meaningless. Same thing with football. Like, this, you know, whatever, the stats are what they are. So in a sport like that, I'm all for the change. And I think the NBA has been pretty good about, they're pretty open to changes.
Yeah, no, and that's true. And I think that the NBA numbers are almost more meaningless now than they have ever been. I mean, like Luka Doncic, who is averaging a 30-10-10 triple-double, James Harden is, you know, averaging, what is it? He's going to be end up averaging 40 points a game. These numbers are just so inflated. The shooting has become so much better. The rules are completely different as far as defense played compared to 25 years ago. So and most importantly, the NBA ratings are down slightly. So that's where this is all coming from.
Yeah, well, when you see on a nightly basis stars not playing, you get the ESPN game and you've got, you know, three of the top players in the game are sitting out for load management. You know, now that load management has become such a common phrase in the NBA, it's not a good look. So, yeah, I could see definitely wanting to make some rule changes to kind of liven it up. The NBA regular, I mean, I don't know if there's a more meaningless regular season than the NBA.
Well, you said it exactly right. I mean, the 82 game season, it's too much. I mean, in an ideal world, I would say 60 games is perfect, but we both know that's not happening for obvious reasons. There's financial reasons, and you know, I don't blame them.
Yeah, so, no, I could totally understand that, and yeah, like you said, reducing games is never is never much of an option in any of these sports. All they keep doing is looking to add games. See, the NFL is looking to go to 18 games. Mm. So adding games, obviously, revenue generating. But, you know, from a day in, especially guys my age, I feel like the younger generation, the guys I worked with who were in their 20s, early 30s, were still watching the NBA as much as I used to watch it. Like, I used to live and die with the 90s Knicks with Ewing and Starks and Mason and those guys, Oakley. Never missed a game, you know, and then it got to the point where I know myself and then a lot of my friends who are big sports fans just don't watch every single game like we used to. I guess also when you get a little older, you know, these sports that are nightly, you've got a little bit more responsibilities in your life and you can't always watch every single game. But I do, you know, bet on the games and the DFS. I'm in there nightly. But yeah, you lose interest, and it does get frustrating from a gambling and DFS perspective with these guys sitting on a nightly basis trying to figure out who's sitting, who's not sitting, these late scratches. So yeah, the NBA can be a bit of a frustrating sport from that sense. So yeah, if they're proposing some new ideas, you're going to tell me what these ideas
are.
So I'm kind of going at it blind here.
Yeah, no, which is great. So, you know, that said, but it's these aren't nuances. These are major overhauls at the NBA, and, you know, discuss rules. I am wearing my referee jersey today because I felt like that would put me in the rules mode. For those of you listening on the audio cast, yes, that is true. All right. So there's three proposals, and what they're going to do is they're not going to, you know, like in government, sometimes they say you have to vote for them all or vote for them none. They're not doing it that way. What they're going to do is they're going to vote on each one of these. So you could accept all three, you could accept zero of them, or you can accept one or two, whatever. So the first one is, I think, a no-brainer. What they're going to do is when they get down to the final four teams, the Western Conference Final and Eastern Conference Final, is they're going to reseed 1 through 4. This really stemmed from the Golden State Warriors and Houston Rockets West Final 2 years ago going to 7 games, and then the finals was a sweep. And they just really want the two best teams in the NBA Finals. Give me your thoughts on that, reseeding the final four.
I'm fine with that. I'm okay with that. You know, obviously the goal there would be, like you said, to get the two best teams. Won't always happen. You know, the thing about playoffs in all sports is we're not really looking to find out who the best team is, although that's what we as fans sort of think that's what we're doing. We're picking the best team. We kind of know who the best teams are in these sports, especially the ones that are played like, you know, hockey or basketball or baseball, where you have a fairly long schedule. Like you have a good idea who's the best team just based on the record. But what we do, the reason we play playoffs is because playoffs are exciting, and we don't always want to see the best team win, or we want to see the two best teams get after each other in the finals, which is what this is going to do. So I'm fine with it. I don't think it changes things all that much. I don't think you're going to see a huge change, but I'm fine with going this route.
Would you vote yes for this as a fan?
I would vote yes for it, only because I'm fine with the change. And if other people may have a stronger opinion on it than I do, I'll put it this way: leaving it the way it is, I'm also fine with. But if others, I would be easily convinced that this is a good thing for the league. So I'd be fine with voting for it. Like you said, I do think it limits the chances that you're going to have a dud against a really strong team a little bit more. So I think that does add to maybe increasing NBA final viewership.
And also, here's another thing. Okay, so can we agree in theory that the two best teams in the NBA, and again, we could have a debate, but that's not, are probably the Clippers and the Lakers at full strength, right?
Yes.
So could you imagine a final in which the players could all sleep in their own bed, an all LA final? One, that's good for ratings. Two, that's probably good for play. I mean, yes, it, you know, versus a team having to go from LA to say Milwaukee and then back and forth. And, you know, these guys are traveling first class or even better in private jets, but there's something about sleeping in your own bed, having your own routine. And I mean, if you could just imagine like what that would do for the game, like all LA final or a Knicks versus Nets. I mean, let's not get crazy.
Yeah, that's a long way from happening.
But, you know what I'm saying? So I think it would be an exciting thing to have a final like that, and also not have to do the travel should two East or two West teams get into the final. So you're on board with this one.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, when you go back to when I was really, really hardcore fan and not just a better of the games, when it was Knicks Bulls, like having that be the final would have been huge, as opposed to those teams just beating up on each other and then the Bulls generally beating them outside of the year they were missing Jordan. So, and it would have at least prove my point that the Knicks were the second best team of that era. But we won't know. So yeah, I do kind of like that idea. It's sort of they're making like fantasy sport changes to their rules. Which is what we do in a lot of these, like I do in my baseball league and football leagues, where we reseed after to try to make sure we get the two best teams to compete against each other.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree. Constantly evolving rules, it makes for a better league, no matter what you're doing. It's reality or DFS or, you know, fantasy, doesn't matter. Okay, second one. Now, this one is going to be a harder sell. I like the idea of it, but they want to do a mid-season tournament, meaning the proposed time for this tournament would be now. So it'd be right after Thanksgiving, and the second proposed time would be a 30-team tournament. Now, these would also count as regular season games. So they would take the regular season from 82 games down to 78 games, okay? So these games would count. And because, you know, if they reduce the schedule by four games, they have to make up that revenue. So interest in a tournament mid-season would create extra revenue opportunities. So some teams would only play 78, but if you won this tournament, you'd end up playing about 83 games in total. And the problem they're coming up with here is finding meaning for the tournament. How do you get people to care about a tournament?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. I was waiting for the catch there. Like, okay, the winner of the tournament gets something here.
I mean, could they do financial? I mean, like the winning team gets $10 million to split up. I mean, is that even?
Yeah, you could do financial. The problem is the people don't care about financial, right? So you want something that's going to bring the fans in. And it's kind of like you remember last year Tiger played Phil Mickelson on pay-per-view?
Yes.
And it's like, okay, so I'm watching a guy who's worth $500 million play a guy worth $1 billion for, you know, $10 million of not their money. Like, you know, the excitement's not there. So, you know, these guys make a ton of money, and I don't think financial incentive is what's going to draw the fans. Now, there's going to be some intrigue. Whenever there's a tournament, there'll be some intrigue.
And it would be single elimination, by the way, NCAA style.
Yeah, single elimination. There's got to be a way that you either, I don't know if you give automatic, I'm like tossing ideas in my head, like having some sort of, giving you some sort of advantage to make the playoffs. Like what if you only had 15 teams make the playoffs and then you guaranteed the 16th, whoever wins this tournament is guaranteed in as a 16th team like that.
And again, it's okay. So take a team like Dallas Mavericks. All right. We agree that they are a rock solid basketball team, but they probably have a very low chance of winning the NBA title. I mean, like a very low chance. If they get hot for four games in a single game elimination tournament, they could win this midseason tournament the way Luke is playing right now, the way that team is clicking right now. They could easily win that tournament. But again, I mean, this comes from the World Cup. From the World Soccer, the format. That's where they got the idea from. That's what they said. And I just think that, like I said, it's funny. Like, will the fans care? Hey, we won the midseason. The only difference that they didn't really talk about was in soccer, there is no playoffs. It's just, hey, at the end, it's over. So they have these tournaments within the season in soccer. And yeah, that's why the fans care about it.
What's nice is having relegation in soccer, which you can never get away with in the NBA. And none of the American sports, I don't think, that would ever fly, because you're going to lose so much value in your franchise if you get relegated. For those who, I don't know if everyone knows what being relegated is in soccer. You basically, let's say you had 16 teams in a league. There'll be eight of them will be in their A league and eight will be in their B league. And what happens is if you finish in the bottom one or two in the A league, and then the top one or two teams from the B league flip with those teams and they move to the A. So you can never really win a championship, the big championship, unless you're in the A group. And of course, there's a lot more money that goes with playing in that A league as opposed to the B league. So you wind up getting, what you get is at the bottom, you get teams fighting their ass off in the last couple of games of the season to keep themselves out of being relegated to the lower league. So it does make for, so it does eliminate the odds of dumping.
Of tanking,
which I think is the main, that's the main problem here in the NBA is the tanking. And quite frankly, there's no guarantee. I mean, look at the Knicks last year, they tanked and didn't get what they wanted. So,
right. Well, they flattened the lottery odds. And I think that you would have to also lay in those odds before any sort of tournament, because, you know, if it, well, go ahead. I interrupted you.
No, that's fine. I think if, So to me, I think the, what's more intriguing is having the, even if you had like the, even if you split it up, maybe again, kind of thinking off the cup, if you had the bottom teams play in their own playoff and having it, giving them some sort of advantage to winning in getting a better odds on the, on their pick so that they're trying to win or something like that. Right. There's gotta be something, I don't know. I feel like I'm trying to come up with some good ideas for what I don't think is a great idea.
I don't think it's a good idea either. There's three ideas. The first one we like, but we're kind of neutral on it. But I think the first one's a good idea. The second one with the midseason tournament, it's just finding like purpose for it. And I think that's what they have to, really figure out there. What's the purpose? Maybe a win in this is worth like three real wins and it skyrockets you up a little bit. I mean, the PowerPoint system, something. I think we're just grasping at straws here.
Yeah. I like all those ideas, but I think I'm a little too much of a traditionalist to start doing that. But I think where they need to look is on the bottom, the worst teams, and kind of build some interest, have a reason for those teams to be playing for something.
The idea also is that there's a lull in the NBA season right about now with a long season. So they need to do something to inject a little interest into it. So right now or right around Martin Luther King Day would be, because that the NBA does own that times that holiday as well, as far as when games are on, but they don't put like feature games on, like they put like Memphis on for good reason. Memphis was key with Martin Luther King.
So yeah, I believe the Knicks usually play that afternoon game Luther King Day. Yeah,
It makes sense. So sometime around there, they can't do it in March because of March Madness, and someone proposed maybe they could do it on the off nights, because in a 22 day span with March Madness, in the month of March Madness, it's 22 off days and 8 on days. What ESPN airs on those off days, they are the NIT.
Yeah, that's tough. It's tough to compete with that's all anyone's talking about. Although the NCAA tournament is really all about those first two weekends.
Yes, it is.
Because that's when everyone's still in their brackets and everything. Yes. Still, especially the first weekend, I should say, the first two rounds. But yeah, that's when everybody is really focused on it, because we're all still alive in our brackets. But yeah, I don't know if I would compete in March.
You can't compete in March.
Not a bad time of year because you've got right before the bowl season starts.
Mm-hmm. It'd be post Thanksgiving or in the end of January. That's when you'd have to do it.
Yeah, I would agree. Right before the Super Bowl, something like that.
And then there was some talk that maybe they could put this like leading into the All-Star break, because the All-Star needs something, but the players didn't want their All-Star break. So that was immediately rejected, but they need to do something because All-Star itself is needs something. It's a little stale.
It is stale. They need some injection there. I'm not 100% sure what they could do about that, but I feel like they're close to a good idea here, but it's not quite there. Like, I wouldn't vote for this the way I'm hearing it right now.
All right. The last idea I will tell you, but we're going to take a quick break here and just tell you about our friends from OverlayDFS.com, the DFS Army Fantasy Basketball Podcast brought to you by them. And I'm just going to bring up their screen right now. And John, you've played OverlayDFS.com. They just launched their NBA. And what you do is, I'm just going in there. You can see it on the screencast right here, or if you're listening on the audio cast. What you do is they present you with 30 matchups, player versus player, and you pick which one's going to have more fantasy points. For example, they have Jamal Murray versus Buddy Hield, Will Barton versus Bogdanovich. And what you do is you make 12 picks in one of their formats. You can make 10 picks in another format. And if you usually want to go about 9-3 or 8-4, and you can win the cash. Talk about your experience playing OverlayDFS.com.
I have enjoyed it. So I started out playing the NFL maybe 5-6 weeks ago, done really well. And then I've been, when I have the time here, I've been dabbling with the NBA. And really, there's actually no excuse not to have the time. I've got to remember, you can do this way earlier than you do a lot of the other type of DFS formats, because in this, if a player is out, that matchup just gets washed away. Mm-hmm. So the nice thing is, with a lot of, especially with the NBA, I think it's really tough for the average person to play DFS NBA. unless you're just playing kind of one lineup. But you've, even with that one lineup, you need to be on top of it. And you need to be on top of everything, not just the players in your lineup, because if another game, and as we're talking about now with these guys resting and all this stuff, guys sit all the time, and then it becomes someone who might not be in your lineup becomes really a must-use player. So even if you're playing one lineup, you need to be on top of it. At least with this here, you could get this in earlier in the day when you're in the office and put your lineups in, then just double check it as you want later in the day. Again, you're playing a heads up matchup. You've got to just pick the winner against in a two player matchup. And like you said, 8-4, 9-3 is generally going to get you the money. And if you hit the 12-0 in one of these progressives, that pot just keeps rolling. So I believe that's where they got the name overlay, is because you are now, you're putting, we talked about EV on our Beat the Bookie podcast. You're in a plus EV situation here as that pot continues to increase. So it becomes really worth playing. I haven't hit one of these progressives yet, but I plan on doing it.
That I'm glad that you plan on taking all the money. Yes. And you can too. So if you're listening to this podcast, check out our friends at overlaydfs.com. And what's cool is that you may not have some of these superstars on your team, but you get to pick Harden versus Giannis. I mean, you know, in football, it's Barkley versus McCaffrey. Like, you can pick and have these star matchups and do these start sits with these stars. Sometimes usually you're picking on the margins with start sit. This is almost like trying to hit a 12 team parlay. So definitely check them out. All right, John, our last proposed rule change that I would want to get your reaction on. And this is the one I think is a home run. I think they will pass this one. I'm really excited about this one. So in the normal basketball playoffs, you have 8 teams from each conference, correct?
Yes.
So what they would do is the top 6 teams from each conference would still work the exact same way that it works now. Seed 1 through 6 would still work the same way. But there would be a play-in game for the 7, 8, 9, 10 teams. Meaning, in each conference, there would be a 1-game playoff where, follow me on this one, 7 plays 8 and 9 plays 10. So 7 would play 8. The winner would be locked in to the 7 seed. Then the winner of 9 versus 10 would play the loser of 7 versus 8 for the 8th seed. So basically, if you're a 7th and 8th seed, all you need to do is win once. If you're a 9 or 10 seed, you need to win twice.
Okay. I'm sold on that one. I like it. Yeah. I like that idea. Gives a little, you know, puts a lot more teams into the playoff hunt. You know, we saw baseball do this with the wild card and, you know, give that one game. That one game becomes a game 7 type situation. Mm-hmm. Everyone loves to watch it. Yeah, I'm on board. That's an interesting. I wasn't expecting you to say
right, that. You were expecting me to say 7-10.
Yeah, 7-10, 8-9, and just no. Put the winners. But and while you were saying it, I'm like, I don't know if I like it. But then I thought about it and I said, you know what? Right. I do, because you only need that one win.
Right.
Where it incentivizes, you know, you should have been in the playoffs historically as a 7-8. So what they're good, that's the little bit of an advantage that they're giving you for finishing in that 8th spot. So I like it. I think it's a good idea.
And then it also, cause so there's how many teams in each conference? 15, right? So it also puts 11 and 12 in a non-tanking situation usually.
Yeah. You're hopefully going to limit the amount of teams that tank. It's interesting. I like it. I like the idea. I still think that's the main problem though, is figuring out the tanking situation.
Right. And this one addresses it a little bit better.
This one, it helps a little bit. It's tough. You know, it's incentivizing teams at the bottom outside of relegating is always the toughest part for the sport. We don't see it in baseball as much, but, you know, and we're starting to see it in football now. And certainly the NBA has made it, you know, the Sixers sort of made it popular, and now every team seems to want to do it.
Yeah, I mean, the worst place to be is in the middle, even in your fantasy
league. Oh, your fantasy league finishing 6, especially when you're in keeper type of leagues.
Right, that's what I meant.
Yeah, so if you're in dynasty keeper leagues, like finishing in the middle is just the worst thing you could possibly do.
Yep. So, okay. All right. So you're in for the 7 through 10 playoffs. That one I really liked as well. And all right. So if you were, again, voting for these, you could vote for just to summarize, we had the final four reseeding was idea one, where we reseed the final four teams. And this way you could possibly have an all West final or an all East final. Idea two was a midseason tournament, which we like the idea of, but we think that it would kind of be another all-star thing unless you found out a proper way for someone to give a shit about it. And then idea three was an NBA play-in game, one game for seeds 7 through 9, where seeds 7 and 8 would just need to win one game, and seed 9 and 10 would need to win 2. How are you voting on all three of these?
So I'm definitely going to vote for number 3.
Okay.
2, I'm going to say they need to work on, so I'm going to pass on that. Okay. I think it's in moving in the right direction, but there needs to be some work. And then 1, I'm not going to lose sleep if I lost on that, but I will vote. I'll vote on 1 as the change with the final 4 reseeding. I think the more I think about it, I kind of like it more and more. But I don't know if that's the magic bullet.
Okay.
They're
doing these rule changes for not next season, the season after, which is right. The 75th anniversary of the NBA. And in my mind, I think they're doing it like that because if it doesn't work, they can always pull it back and say, hey, we were just doing this for the special 75th anniversary. Like, they're not wedded to it if they can figure out a way out of it just as a special sort of one time only thing. And if it works, it works, you know?
I agree. Yeah. And like I said, for people who get all caught up in the playoffs, this is what when baseball changed the playoffs and football years ago changed the play and basketball, inevitably they're going to be changing this, and it's obviously changed over time. Again, we get caught up, we think the playoffs are made to pick the best team. It's mm-hmm. not. It's for the fans. It's excitement, and watching the excitement is when the best team doesn't win, or watching an unbelievable team continue to build a dynasty. But that is, we're not picking the best, the best teams that were picked for championships were the college football teams before they ever had a playoff. Those generally you had the best team, but as a fan, we want to see playoffs. So don't get too caught up in the actual rules. Enjoy having playoffs in the NBA and having these games mean more. I think that's more fun.
Yeah. And then, we've also heard that's very well said. That's amazingly said. I think that's exactly right. I would echo that. And the one of the things you heard rumored around is that, and we'll close on this, is just reseeding all 16 NBA teams. And you're never going to get that. And, you'd heard that rumor before, right?
Just sure.
Right. And the reason is because the teams in the East would never agree to it. I mean, Michael Jordan and Charlotte and the Hornets. Why are they going to, nobody ever wants to go there as a free agent. Why are they going to give up the chance to make the playoffs with 38 wins? They're not going to ever do that. So,
yeah, that's right now, but I feel like these things are kind of cyclical, and the West has been more dominant as far as from top to bottom for
a while,
but eventually that's going to change too.
But it's the small market teams in the East that can't get stars.
That's true.
They're not going to vote.
I guess you've got more, yeah. I mean, that is true. But you just had a team like Toronto win the championship. You it could be done. It's just got to be,
Right. But I don't think that Toronto would vote for it because, hey, if they get a star, they get a 1 seed versus having like a 7 seed,
Of course. So, yeah, so. I could totally understand it, But we've got the biggest market in the world in the East, and they can't even make the playoffs. So.
Right. All right. Last, I want you to close on, talk about what you're doing over at Beat the Bookie. Tell us people why they should sign up, and exactly in a quick elevator pitch on what it is for those listening for the first time.
Yeah. If you guys haven't seen me before, I've been working over at Beat the Bookie, which is on DFS Army. And it's myself, 2 other coaches. We call ourselves coaches over there. And we're just kind of helping out both the beginning sports bettors all the way to the advanced sports bettors with our picks, our models, and also advice. So a lot of education going on, a lot of picks, a lot of winning. So come on over, check it out over at DFS Army, Beat the Bookie.
Yep. And then you can get Statsational on Twitter. He is at Statsational. I am at Alan Sislowski. You'll see it in the description. John, thanks for coming in and commenting on NBA. I always love talking to you, and I will see you back either early next week for Geeks Vegas Lines or hopefully another Beat the Bookie podcast soon.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Be good.